9 weeks ago, I started a series to basically encapsulate events in summaries to have a historical account of what has transpired, election 2020. This is part 9. That's 9 weeks ago, basically, since I started doing this. I called it Election Groundhog Day. And this is the last part of it because technically the election ends January 6th. That doesn't mean the legal challenges will, but the election technically ends January 6th. Welcome everyone, I'm Andres, this is Off The Record, and I'm going to approach this one a little bit different. It was kind of like what I ended up doing last week where I kept it short, to the point, just expressing my thoughts, but the wrap-up of everything that's transpired, I'm just going to, for those of you watching this episode or listening to this episode, not on my website, I recommend you go to the show notes accompanying this episode at www.theandressagover.com, so you'll be able to see the latest updates from Rudy Giuliani on all this. Because, well, that's the straight source. He is the source because he's the one on the ground with others that are fighting against the outright steal. There's been so much that's transpired over the past 24 to 48 hours. But let me just quickly tell you that from the past update to this one, it's all just been cover up. Because this week, the Secretary of State, John Raffenberger, whatever the flip his name is, Secretary of State of Georgia, they basically said that the signature audit of the absentee ballots in Fulton County were 99% clean. There were like two that were not clean, and that was that. But they kicked out the independent monitors from the audits, which was supposed to be part of the reason for the audits. So with all this that's been transpiring, it has literally been Georgia with Republicans supposedly at the head of it, with Brian Kemp being an inept, incompetent governor, not tapping into his abilities to get involved here. He's just been like, yeah, I know, but I don't do anything. And he just didn't do anything. Just rolled the coattails of Trump. And then when the time came on knockings, like, it's time for you to do your job, governor, is not doing anything about it. The Secretary of State, even worse, and even worse than him, his elections manager, Gabe Sterling. Gabe Sterling actually had an issue last week where someone that sold him the house 2 years ago registered for absentee ballot using his address after having purchased it and filed a motion against her. I was like, well, if it was that easy, you think she'd be the only one trying this? Another one of the things that have happened in Georgia was regarding out-of-county voters. And there's a Vote for America or whatever that is, the Vote Forward, Move Forward. This organization that was started, it's one of several by Stacey Abrams, who failed to run for governor and believes she is governor of the state of Georgia. She never conceded, but she's held as a hero. She has raised so much money in Hollywood for a Georgia election runoff race for the two Senate seats. And her sister, who happens to be a judge, struck down this order that would not allow out-of-county voters to be counted into the registered roll, which is illegal because they're not in the county to vote, so why would they vote? But the judge said, no, that's okay. You're the sister of Stacey Abrams. There's a conflict of interest there on its face. You need to recuse yourself. But this is all flagrant in-your-face voter fraud being covered up by the media, being silenced and manipulated by big tech. And it's not a surprise. 2016, the big tech companies, well, mostly Google, they held the summit and they were venting their frustrations that Trump won and that they were going to make sure that he wouldn't win again. Then the fact-checking stuff were installed into Facebook, Twitter, Google, and all that stuff. And January 20th, 2017, just minutes after the inauguration of Donald Trump, the campaign to impeach him began. There was the Washington Post who said, it begins, the impeachment campaign to remove the president. That was talked about the night of the election 2016 to impeach President Trump. So that was already in full swing. They just needed a reason to make it public. Big Tech went into action 2018 to 2019 with the Vox Apocalypse. I think it was 2019 with the Vox Apocalypse, using Steven Crowder as cover for them to start really cranking down on information and channels that are not approved by the bigwigs at Google, which is running YouTube. And then 2019, the end of 2019, we have Pennsylvania change the voting rules to remove safeguards for election integrity. That was one of the reasons that was being contended in Pennsylvania. And the Supreme Court of the United States looked the other way and said, no, we're not going to look at it right now. We're going to look at it after the inauguration. Oh, how convenient. Then 2020, using the pandemic as a cover, we had massive mail-in voting that was ripe for fraud because there is no way to verify that those votes are what they are. And California has its own riffraff of voter fraud and all that. But it's California. Who's going to hear here when the super liberal majority control it? But there is hope now that big money is pouring into their campaign to recall Gavin Newsom. So if there was this much opposition to Gavin Newsom, did really Biden win by that much when he's not really that liked here either? Anyway, it's not really Biden, it's Kamala. And believe me, people don't like Kamala here either. So a lot of questions there regarding California. But when it comes to what's transpired across the landscape of things, mostly what Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Pennsylvania were doing, the state legislators there have been trying to vote to decertify the vote in those states. But they cannot vote on the bill without the speaker of those houses, which are all Republican, by the way, call into session. And so far, they haven't wanted to do it. Not complaining about the voter stuff or anything. They just don't want to do it because they're afraid of the backlash, should they be wrong. Because since the election that Biden won, the left wing, the extremists, have been piling on and trying to make this blacklist of people that voted for Trump. That's 75 million people. So they're doing a target list, which is all Marxist-Stalinist stuff. And the media is all for it. They also want it too. That's why they continuously say that the channels that don't parrot the same news that these hive mind mentality like organizations do, they're calling, oh, they're fake news, they're right wing, alt-right, and all this nonsense. Man, all of you are alt-left, if you want to call it that. All you ever been was a spokespeople or a machine for the Marxist agenda of this country. And the political establishment wasn't just made up of the Democrats. It was made up of the Republicans. I've said that for the longest time. And a lot of them have been showing their colors by not standing up for Trump. But now we have at least 140 Republican lawmakers prepared to challenge the Electoral College votes on Tuesday or Wednesday, January 6th. And we have at least one senator that has spoken publicly about that. That's Senator Josh Haley of Missouri, to which Senator Mitch McConnell was trying to get to convince that stop it, because Mitch McConnell had already said about a week or two ago, do not challenge the Electoral College. And now there's word through the grapevine that Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader Republican, is trying to team up with Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, to change rules on how they can be challenged. So in other words, to not challenge the Electoral College. It's all just a bunch of cover-ups. What happened a few days ago in Georgia during the election integrity hearings, there's this inventor who invented a machine that you can run the ballots through. It'll detect what kind of paper it is, the ink and all that, and if what adjudication there might have happened with it. And he wanted to get access to be able to audit the ballots, to which after the hearing, the Georgia hearing council that they heard it, they unanimously voted to give him access. Here's the crazy part. And I might try to flash on the screen there if I get a chance. If I don't have enough time for post-production, you might not be able to see what I'm talking about, but I'm going to try to hold it up. After they unanimously voted for Ivan, what's his name? Let me get it. Come on. Let me get his right name. Sorry, folks. It's one of those days. Where's the inventor's name? Ivan. Okay. This was big. Happened yesterday. Because what's happening in Georgia is probably the worst of the worst in terms of the cover up there, especially because run by Republicans. Yeah, right. Yeah, Republicans. Pennsylvanians, they're professional stealers or fraudsters, so they've been able to cover the tracks and put in safeguards from the judicial to the government and all that to just stop a lot of things from being investigated. That's why you haven't seen anything done in that realm, and you have all these Republican lawmakers there at least sending letters to Mitch McConnell. You have to challenge those electors. They're fraudulent. We're trying to decertify the vote, but we're being stonewalled here. No one wants to do anything about it. Okay, so this inventor named Joe von Pulitzer, he was the one given the authority to audit the signatures on these absentee ballots in Fulton County. And it took 4 hours between the time it was voted on to be able to pass the legal documents through the courts for him to have access to these things. In between that time, trucks showed up to Fulton County officials, election offices, to collect the evidence. This is what I'm talking about. Those kind of trucks. Not the first time they've been seen, by the way. These have been seen several times. So they were called in to get rid of the evidence. And some of the news that broke today as I'm going to production is that there were vans also removing ballots from the Georgia warehouse to, I don't know why, the sheriff Jackson's office. This was broken. He teased about it yesterday, but Patrick Byron released this today. And here are the pictures. This is also from Twitter, by the way, where you can see it, because this is not the first time it's talked about. These are fake ballots, boxes and boxes of fake ballots, which is something that, depending on where you're looking at, some of these were warehoused in certain random places. This has been photographed for the past few weeks, but they've also been brought from Arizona. So now there's links to that, like counterfeit ballots. Well, what does that mean, Andres? Because, well, if you really want to follow the rabbit trail, some of this stuff, including this, was all recorded, by the way, and my wife speaks Mandarin because she's Taiwanese, so she was able to translate for me to confirm, like, yeah, that's what they're saying. A lot of this came from overseas, across from where the origin of the pandemic started. So it's been crazy. A lot of stuff has been going on. And when you see the counting that's happening in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, even to some extent Nevada, but Nevada's a lost cause at this point. All the corruption, when they were counting, you had ballots that only had one vote filled in, and that was for president. Nothing across the ballot, nothing at the county level, the city level, the measures, the propositions, wherever applicable, nothing else voted on, just the president's part. And the signatures, how convenient that a lot of signatures had the same penmanship, or a lot of the different individuals had the same address. Never mind that they didn't even have any, like the surname or the family name, none of it matched, but all the addresses did, which is so weird. How many people can you conceivably stuff into one house or residence? If it's an apartment, maybe, but it wasn't. These were not apartments. These were single family homes, but not suspicious at all. And even crazier still is the pristine condition of the ballots. What does that mean? If it's a mail-in ballot, it had to have at least one or two folds, depending on how these ballots were folded. These were not folded, but kept being run through a machine. And the infamous video from Georgia, where the Farmers Arena was evacuated because of a pipe burst, and the counting stopped for the night, but it never did. They kept counting. As soon as everybody was gone, these people went into action. That video shows it. But even crazier still is how many times you can see one individual that was in charge, a manager, kept running through the same ballots into the machine. After passing them through, picking them up, running them again, counting the same votes through the voting machine tally again and again, between 3 to 5 times or more. I forget what the number is. The point is, more than once. So, yeah, suspect. There are 200,000 absentee ballots that are permanently confined in Wisconsin, yet nothing has been done about it. That was by the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. And said, you're right, these 200 votes are confined. Technically, it shouldn't count. So why hasn't Pennsylvania flipped already? In the case of Pennsylvania, hey, how is it that we have 200,000 to 300,000 more votes counted than there are registered people in the state? You can't count those votes. So why hasn't Pennsylvania flipped? Arizona, same thing. Anywhere between 160,000 to 400,000 votes in different places. So why is Arizona still not contented? The state legislator in these particular states have been trying to decertify the certified vote because these are fraudulently done. Georgia, worst case. So you have it there. So you have 7 states that have provided a competing slate of electors. So that's what you've been hearing. Like, well, maybe you heard about it. Representative Gomer, I think his name is, that sued the office of the vice president to clarify his powers under the 12th Amendment. And Mike Pence, yesterday, his office through the Department of Justice, the defense in this case, sent a reply to say the vice president doesn't want to deal with this because your fight is not with the vice president, it's with Congress. The thing is, it all goes through the vice president on January 6th. And depending on who you're going to believe at this point, there are those people that are concerned that Pence is getting ready to basically move on from politics because he's been bought off already. To each their own, man. At this point, nothing really surprises people. They're like, oh, it's 2021 now. Happy New Year, by the way. 2021, that things are going to be better now. Like, no, it's not. It's not. It's actually going to be considerably worse than last year in terms of how people will take it, because January 6th is going to set the tone for the rest of the year. So you're either going to have an enraged mob that say Trump stole the election because he went through the legal process to fight against voter fraud, massive widespread voter fraud. Or you're going to see a bunch of discontent people saying, dude, this is Marxist takeover. They stole the election. So you're going to have one segment of America having a terrible year, worse than the previous year. And you're going to have the other set of Americans, well, the left side of Americans say that the continuous hell of the past 4 years has been the worst for them. So to this, I say to those people, if you were hoping for that $600 stimulus check that Trump said you got to bump up to $2,000, I hope that you send it back. Because why would you thank Trump for giving you money or trying to get you more money? It's like, oh, Mitch McConnell's the one holding it up. He didn't hold it up when the Democrats are only addressing the part about increasing the money, but not the other demands that Trump made regarding to how to pass the stimulus package. Stimulus. You have a $900 billion stimulus package. $200 billion, which is focused on the United States. $700 billion being sent out to nothing COVID-related throughout the world. What the hell? What the hell? And you leftists say, why are we spending so much money in the military? That's not even military money. This was something that was held back because of politics by Nancy Pelosi, who wouldn't vote on it before the election, that was meant to help individuals and businesses that have been impacted by the lockdowns. Never happened. She didn't care. She held it back. This has been a long time being held back. In the case of the vaccine, Trump said, we're hopeful that we could have a vaccine or two by the end of the year. And everybody said, fact check, lie, doesn't happen, that's never going to happen, and if it happens, don't trust it. And then it happened, but conveniently, the announcement was held back from the election, and Pfizer announced it after the election. Oh, why help Trump, right? And then Kamala said, well, there's a vaccine, I'm not going to take it. Andrew Cuomo in New York said, nah, we'll have to look at it if it's under Trump. It's like, what do you mean if it's under Trump? So if it's under Biden, it's okay? Like, okay, so now there is. Now there's a vaccine. Now they're getting ready to distribute it because the FDA finally approved it. So like, okay, we're getting ready to distribute it. So let's get to our most vulnerable. No, because the most vulnerable are white. We can't distribute it to them. Wait, what? It's like, I thought they were the ones that we're trying to save, and it's Trump's fault because the virus started in China, but it's Trump's fault that these people are dying. It's like, no, let's get it to our frontline workers first, even though they don't want it. Most of them don't want it. Who else? Let's get it to our politicians. Well, okay, the older politicians, right? No, there's AOC getting it. Oh, it was public policy. It was security policy for me to take it. It's like, huh? Tulsi Gabbard's refusing it until the vulnerable get it. It's like, yeah, but the vulnerable tend to be white, you know? They kind of asked for it at this point. I'm confused, New York Times. What are you talking about? Okay. And then what? Kamala said she wouldn't take it because of Trump. So she finally took it. By the way, here is your weekly reminder that she has not vacated her Senate seat. But of course, that could change January 6th. Why wait at this point? Like, just keep on waiting. You're almost there. They can't even give him credit for anything. That's Trump derangement syndrome to the max. So that's what I mean about a faction of America that's going to have a worse year than last year. That's why if you follow my socials, I was jokingly being a little bit despairing. I do demotivational stuff on my socials because I find it funny. I'm a sarcastic guy. I'm not being sarcastic here though, but I like to do despair stuff, but sometimes I get a little carried away. It's like, hey, you know, that went a little too far. It's okay, fine, I'll rectify it. But yeah, I have fun with that kind of stuff. I was half joking about the despair stuff leading up to New Year's because I know what to anticipate for January 6th. It's a big day. Big day. for the country, for history, for the direction of this country. And, well, we'll see what happens. Because it's a literal David versus Goliath against big tech, big media, and the political establishment, the deep state. Whoops, I just said it, so I'm going to be targeted by them. Yeah, a lot going on. And like I said, depending on where you fall, you're going to have a worse year than last year. And if Trump remains, we know what those left-wingers are going to do. That's what those businesses have been boarding up. They didn't board up for Trump supporters. But you're down right that Trump supporters are going to be really upset against the GOP. Goodbye, GOP. Literally, after this, you have no more support. So, like I had mentioned early on when I started this series, I did two videos on this. One was, even if Trump loses, he wins. And the other one is, GOP, we didn't vote for you. We voted for Trump. I was one of those, almost a never Trump camp, that ended up voting for him begrudgingly. I didn't know him. And maybe one day I'll retell that story. And throughout his tenure in his first term, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I still got like, I guess he's all right. And leading up to this election, it's like, yeah, I'm going to vote for him. Of course, I'm not going to vote for Biden. Because I assumed Biden was going to be the front runner. If it was Bernie Sanders, of course I was going to vote for Trump. But Biden, like, I didn't know much about Biden because nobody did. Unless you're really in the know. Nobody really did because the media wouldn't do the job. So when Biden became the one, like, oh, look, there's a Biden crime family thing going on here. Yeah, there's a lot for you to learn about that. Like, okay, fine. So as we're getting closer and to see how vehemently the machine against him was just revving up against him, I'm like, holy smokes, this is not trying to steamroll Trump. They're trying to steamroll liberty and freedom and people's rights. They're trying to run over Americans. They're trying to tear up or burn up the Constitution. Well, tear up the Constitution and burn the flag. I'm like, you know what? Hell no. I'm going to vote for Trump. He actually cares about us. And sure enough, I was proven right about him. And I became Trump 2020. That's why I've been with it in the fight. Because this is historical. I'm a student of history. I love history. That's why I did this book. This is historical. A historical account of what's happened between 2003 and 2006. So a lot of that stuff, I go back, I'm like, holy smokes, that was a long time ago. But a lot of that stuff still applies today. And I thought it was bad back then. No, that was just the seeds of despair that were going to grow in political discontent. You know, so yeah, none of this ever surprised me because I've been around that long, involved in my short life in politics. So now that we're at this level, it's just outright historic. And the Marxists are really trying to snuff out the last remaining beacon of hope and freedom out of this world. And we can't let them. It's a January 6th, big day, stop the steal. Hopefully the righteous stand up, they get the moral courage to do what is right and what's constitutional, because it's there. It's all lawful and it's ethical to do, to stop the cheaters from stealing this election and incarcerating the American people. Anyway, thank you so much for watching this last part of Election Groundhog Day. There'll be more episodes of Off the Record. Just this series of Election Groundhog Day, this is the last one. So thank you so much for those of you that join me along the way to be informed and stay up to date. But for everything that's happened, all the shenanigans and what can be done about it, again, for those of you that are either watching or listening, but not on my website, you can go to my website, accompanying the show notes of this episode at www.theinterestingover.com to see the latest update from Rudy Giuliani, because he is the source for all this, because he's the one where we're getting our information from, as he's fighting in the courts and going to these hearings and bringing the cases up to the legislators while there's still time. We'll see what happens. Hey, I am optimistic. It's not over until it's over. So, there we go. Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you on the next one. Oh yeah, once again, it's still Happy New Year.